woman with more interest than the other, and she only danced with the human males. A few male breeds showed some interest in her, watched her with a surfeit of it, but none approached her. If she approached them, they talked with her, but watched her with suspicion and a hint of question. A few actually glanced over at him disapprovingly as they talked to her. His jaw tightened in satisfaction that it was his scent that stopped them. He'd made certain she carried it as he kissed and tasted every inch of flesh he could get to before she left with those two damned wolf breeds earlier. Draeger and Tobias had been far too smug, too satisfied, as they left the house with her. Something about their expressions and the gleam of knowledge in their eyes as they glanced back at him had set his teeth on edge. The two breeds in question were currently making their way to where he stood at the bar, their hard, savage expressions drawing looks of wary interest from the women they passed. Draeger, black-haired, his dark blue eyes intense, didn't draw the gazes his partner Tobias did, though. Red hair, carefully cropped beard and mustache, and grayish-green eyes were rare enough in a man. In a breed, when combined with the rough-hewn features, years of savage training, and an innate, determined force, it ensured he'd never be overlooked. Both men wore jeans, dark t-shirts, and boots, similar attire to everyone else at the club. Still, like every other breed there, they stood out. Drew notice.
Maverick.
Draeger nodded as he slid up to the bar on one side of Cullen, while Tobias slid in on the other side. He didn't miss the fact that they were attempting to close him in, to make him feel hemmed in, restrained. Most breeds would have instinctively felt that way about two others they were uncertain of. Cullen wasn't uncertain of the wolf breeds, though. He knew why they were there with Chelsea. He just couldn't figure out what the hell she was doing that caused her to need them.
"Took the two of you long enough to visit,"
Cullen murmured, lifting his beer to his lips as his gaze sought out Chelsea again. She gave Draeger and Tobias a long, probing look, met his gaze, then turned away as he tipped his beer in her direction. She wasn't happy with his presence there any more than her wolf breed shadows were. And he hated that. There was a time that she would have smiled at him, her dark eyes filled with warmth and a subtle invitation, an invitation he hadn't allowed himself to accept while she was with the agency. Now, in the weeks since she'd left, that invitation had been replaced with a gleam of hurt and no small amount of anger.
"You going to make a habit of following her everywhere she goes?"
Tobias cut straight to the point.
"That's not very smart. You're just going to call more attention to her."
No one had ever accused the breed of being tactful, Cullen guessed.
"Looks that way," he drawled, keeping his eyes on Chelsea.
God only knew what kind of trouble she'd get into if he actually took his eyes off her.
"And from what I understand, it would be hard to draw more attention to her. Wasn't she just attacked a few nights ago?"
His fist clenched at the thought of the knife-wielding coyote the two wolf breeds had been forced to kill to defend her.
"Anomaly," Draeger shrugged. "She's not in any danger, unless you make an issue of this. Is that what you want to do?"
The warning tone of the breed's voice didn't sit real well with him. If the wolf thought Cullen was going to back down in the face of it, then he'd better think again.
"If making an issue of it becomes a problem, then I'll be here to take care of it. Now, won't I?"
he informed them coldly.
"The two of you are wasting your time. If you don't have anything constructive to say, then go back to your corners and become shadows again."
The two breeds glanced at each other, their expressions closed, revealing little but the wariness he knew he was causing them.
Assholes.
Unless they wanted to tell him what the hell was going on, then he had no use for them.
"You're becoming a problem, Commander,"
Draeger commented.
"You ignore her for weeks, then you think you can step in and play White Knight?"
"Stay the hell away from her,"
Your scent is becoming a deterrent to other breeds and placing her off limits. And we both know you have no intentions of keeping her.
And what exactly was Chelsea up to that required her to associate so closely with male breeds? He wanted to ask that question so bad his back teeth ached as he locked them tight to hold it back. Asking wouldn't get him anywhere, and he knew it.
Pest control. Cullen grinned. I'll have to remember that. As for keeping her, last I heard, she wasn't a possession.
The two breeds were silent for long moments, obviously debating their next words, wondering the best way to get rid of him, short of killing him. And killing him could prove difficult for them. Perhaps not impossible, but difficult. From what he'd gathered on the two over the past hours, through several sources he'd contacted, Draeger and Tobias were supposedly not aligned with any particular pack or alpha leader. They weren't associated with the Bureau of Breed Affairs or any of the smaller task forces working to identify and control the breeds still working for the elusive Genetics Council. Who the two breeds were working for, Cullen hadn't been able to learn. The fact that they were indeed employed wasn't in doubt, just as Chelsea's employment now wasn't in doubt. But if anyone knew who had retained their services, they weren't saying.
4 weeks since she parted ways with your agency, and you're only now becoming curious in regard to how she's using the training you gave her while she was with you?
Tobias asked, as Chelsea and Ashley moved to join a small group of feline breed males and their human dates.
Why now?
It was obvious they were unaware it was Chelsea who'd rescued the little girl in the desert weeks before, then disappeared. The attack had no reason or explanation. Council coyotes didn't just attack for the hell of it. If she'd somehow been identified as Louisa's rescuer, now, that would be a reason for an attack. Or, someone knew what she was involved in with these two.
She wasn't in danger until now.
He shot Tobias a look of promised retribution, and he would repay the two breeds just as soon as he figured out what they had drawn Chelsea into.
I'll put a stop to whoever sent those coyotes after her the other night, and when I do, then I'll come looking for the two of you,
he promised. He wanted answers, and he wanted Chelsea safe before making any moves against the two breeds reported to have saved her from the knife-wielding coyotes that came after her. Draeger grunted at the promise, his gaze gleaming in amusement as he leaned back against the bar.
You don't scare me, Maverick. That's your first mistake, Draeger,
Cullen stated coolly.
I'm not a good enemy to make. I'd remember that if I were you.
The day was coming that he'd prove it to them. They didn't want that. As much as he hated it, loathed it, by becoming a thorn in his side, the two were ensuring that if Graham learned of the problem, he'd make certain that the two breeds were excised quickly. Merciless and efficient. That was the twin he was saddled with. Graham rarely gave Cullen a chance to deal with his own thorns if he knew of them. Cullen had learned years ago to make certain Graham never learned of them.
You're no different than any other human in this place, Tobias stated,
his gaze taunting as Maverick glanced over at him.
Stronger than a few, perhaps, but no match for a true breed. Recessed genetics don't count in a fight.
Recessed little snot, Graham liked to call him. Cullen snorted at the insult.
Keep it up, boys,
he invited the two men, not in the least intimidated, as they no doubt expected him to be.
You'll learn the hard way not to keep fucking with me.
His animal genetics might be recessed, but the strength, coordination, and sheer cunning savagery bred into his genetics weren't. They never had been. And lately, they'd increased in power. He simply refused to put them on display. Finding Chelsea within the crowd once again, he met the displeasure in her gaze and arched his brow with mocking inquiry. She seemed more put out with him than usual. Shooting her a slow grin and another tip of his beer, he then lifted the bottle for another drink. The anger that snapped in her dark gaze was almost funny. It would have been highly amusing if not for the disapproval in the gazes of the male breeds she was with, as they looked in his direction as well. Bastards. What the hell was their problem? He wasn't the reason she was here risking her ass and whatever the hell she was doing. He couldn't even figure out what it was she was doing. And no one else seemed to know either. That, or they just weren't talking. And the fact that they weren't talking indicated a loyalty to a breed far more powerful than any Cullen was aware of. Except, perhaps, Graham. Normally, the very fact that he could claim kinship with the monster Graham was enough to get any answers he needed. Until now. Whatever Chelsea was working on and whoever had hired her was such a closely guarded secret that all he'd found were more questions when he'd gone looking for answers. And these two were becoming useless where answers were concerned. A moo of disgust pursed Chelsea's lips before her gaze turned from the breeds she was chatting with to the two standing on each side of him. Her brow lifted, and a second later she was moving purposely through the crowd to the exit. That little arch of the brow was a clear signal to her shadows, he'd learned. She was ready to leave this particular club and head to the next. Or home. Glancing at his watch, he noted the hour, timed it to the schedule he'd put together of her activities, and guessed she was heading home. Whatever she was there for, he was going to assume it hadn't panned out, and she wasn't happy about it. And that was just too damned bad. He'd keep interfering until she deigned to tell him exactly what the hell she was doing and who she was doing it for. He'd be more than happy to take care of whatever job she'd been given after he made certain she was safe. Reaching the elevator leading to the upper floor of the warehouse just behind Draeger, Cullen executed a quick jab to the wolf breed's side when he tried to block the entrance, then slid quickly around him to stand next to Chelsea. Bitch, Draeger growled, one hand pressed to his kidney as he slapped the control panel. The doors slid closed as Draeger glared back at him with a gleam of retribution in his dark blue eyes.
Call your guard dog off, Chelsea,
Cullen advised her, catching a glimpse of her concerned expression from his periphery.
I don't think you want to see the fight that's coming if you don't.
She lifted her gaze to him and narrowed her eyes, the dark depths of her brown eyes snapping with ire. I know how to look the other way. The grip she kept on the pack slung over her shoulder turned her knuckles white. Cullen chuckled at the response.
But we both know you won't. And once I get finished with your Boy Scouts here, then you and I might have words.
He stared down at her, his expression and his tone warning her to remember the years they'd worked together and exactly how determined he could be. Her lips thinned, her gaze holding his. She crossed her arms over her breasts as her delicate little nostrils flared furiously.
He's bluffing, Chelsea. Tobias chuckled. He can't take me and Draeger both, and he knows it. Even one at a time. He's recessed and untrained. He doesn't stand a chance.
It was the untrained comment that got her. Cullen watched her gaze flare, glimpsed the knowledge in her eyes, and just managed to keep a smug grin from his face. He was recessed, but he wasn't untrained. And she knew it. She'd been there the few times he'd sparred with the breeds in the area, knew exactly how well-trained he was, and how powerful he was. Graham had trained him as a boy and as a man. The monster his brother had been for years had shown up, taunting Cullen, pushing him to fight, to pit his strength and cunning against a creature born of murderous skill and well-honed insanity. Cullen knew he'd leave Draeger and Tobias both bleeding, and she knew it as well. If he didn't triumph over the wolves, Cullen knew that Graham would turn the monster loose and start training exercises all over again. That was incentive enough to win the fight.
"Let it go," she muttered.
Draeger gave a low growl.
"Like hell."
"I said, let it go," Chelsea snapped then. "This is childish, and I'll be damned if I'll put up with it. All three of you can stop now, or I'll make damned sure you wish you had."
Cullen's brow arched. That might work with breeds who had a boss, but Cullen hadn't had a boss in his life. There was no one she could go over his head to.
"Excellent threat, sugar,"
he told her softly, grinning down at her in approval.
"I'll be sure to show my approval later."
Her eyes narrowed back at him, a flush working over the sun-kissed flesh of her face as her lips pursed in an expression he knew well.
"Remember what happened the last time you pissed me off, Cullen?" she asked,
her voice as sweet as candy, her expression promising her own brand of vengeance. At that question, he couldn't control the little wince that crossed his face. The last time he'd pissed her off, as she called it? He'd given his agents orders to keep her at the offices when her sister had been attacked. He'd had no idea the danger she would face if she went rushing headlong to her sister's side. When he'd returned, she'd curled that little fist and planted it square in his eye. That bitch had smarted for days.
"Vengeful wench," he muttered.
"Remember it."
The elevator doors slid open.
"Because I promise you, it can happen again."
With a toss of her head, she lifted that cute little nose of hers, waited for Tobias to give her the okay, then left the elevator to step into the warehouse and stalk to her truck. Once again, she stood aside as Tobias and Draeger checked her vehicle, presumably for explosives.
What the fuck was she up to?
Once the two breeds cleared the truck, Cullen moved around the back of the vehicle, and before Chelsea lifted herself into the driver's seat, he had the passenger door open and slid in as well. He knew there were no explosives. He'd come with backup himself. He had no idea what she was involved with or who might want to get rid of her, and he wasn't taking chances. Ranger was still sitting in his car within sight of the truck, just as he had been since their arrival.
"I wouldn't leave my vehicle here if I were you,"
she bit out, anger pulsing in her tone.
"It may be gone when you return for it."
"No problem. I caught a ride with someone else,"
he replied without inflection, watching her mutinous expression closely.
"Looks like you're stuck with me."
Chelsea couldn't believe those words had actually crossed his lips. Damn him. She was stuck with him? No, she wasn't stuck with him. Cullen wasn't the kind of guy to stick around, and she had to remember it. Forgetting it could break her heart more than he already had. He'd already given his heart away, and he didn't want to heal from the loss. No, Cullen wanted to wallow in it. Remain mired in the hopelessness of loving a woman who couldn't come back from the dead.
"I'll take you home."
He wasn't going home with her. She had enough problems. She didn't need to add an affair with him to the mix. His affairs were always short, uncomplicated, and uncommitted. She'd always known that it wasn't something she could handle. Starting the truck, she pulled from her parking spot and drove from the warehouse, glaring into the darkness. She'd just take him to his house, drop him off, then go home. She was tired, irritable, and still aroused. Damn his hide.
"If you take me to my place, then you'll be staying there with me, whether those two yahoos behind us agree with it or not.
He warned her, his tone curt.
We're going to talk, Chelsea. And we're going to do it tonight.
Clenching her hands on the steering wheel, she fought the anger building inside her. It had been building ever since he'd shown up that afternoon. We don't have anything to talk about. Bristling with indignation, she shot him a hard glare. And if we did? The time to discuss it was... Oh... She waved her hand with a mocking exclamation. 4 or 5 weeks ago? All the kisses in the world, demands, and irritable commander looks are not going to change that. She shot him a furious look. Ready to go to your place now? Because that was damned sure where she intended to take him. Taking him home with her was out of the question. She simply had no willpower where he was concerned.
Chelsea, he began warningly.
I mean it, Cullen, she snapped. You can go home. He growled at her, a low, deep, feline rumble that so shocked her that it had her foot releasing the gas pedal and her eyes widening in confusion. He growled at her? Seriously? What the hell was that? She exclaimed, finally recovering and hitting the gas harder. Oh my God! I thought you couldn't do that. I never heard you do that before. Are you like going freaky cat on me or something? I thought you were... recessed? She'd seen Cullen absolutely enraged before, but she'd never heard that sound coming from his chest.
I am.
His voice was deeper, rougher than normal.
But I am still a breed, and you're driving me fucking crazy. Now, let's wait till we get to your place before you make me crazier.
Had he lost his ever-loving mind? He had to have done just that.
Sounds to me like it would be hard for you to get any crazier,
she muttered, glancing over at him warily as she took the turn toward Window Rock. How long have you been making that crazy sound anyway? Should you see a breed specialist or something? Maybe those recessed genetics are going all wacky. She glanced over in time to catch the glare he shot her.
Wacky? He questioned her carefully. Breed genetics don't go wacky.
Course they do. She shrugged, frowning. Malachi's go wacky on Isabel all the time, growling and acting all possessive and crap. He even bites her. She rolled her eyes before frowning again. Come to think of it, you bit me. Chelsea reached up and rubbed at the sensitive area at the bend of her neck and shoulder. At her touch, the spot tingled with sensation, reminding her of the pleasure she'd felt at the bite. That sensation became a subtle wave of pleasure that washed through her and reminded her that the arousal she'd felt that afternoon hadn't abated. A lower, possibly deeper growl sounded from the passenger seat. What now? She demanded irritably. Stop that growling stuff, Cullen. It makes me nervous. It made her nervous? Cullen fought to block the sounds. He could count on one hand how many times he'd actually growled in the past 13 years. Maybe she was right. He needed to see a breed specialist. The only problem was, Bengal genetics were even odder than coyote genetics, and Cullen only knew one specialist. Graham. No way in hell was he going to tell his brother how his normally silent breed responses had become more active in the past weeks. Graham would pull out his needles and sensors, demand blood and tests. He almost shuddered at the thought of it. Graham had shown up periodically over the years, the monster even Cullen had been uncomfortable in the presence of, and demanded blood, genetic tests, and a chance to study the recessed genetics Cullen possessed. Cullen had given in not because he feared the monster. He hadn't. He'd feared his brother slipping so deep into the monster that resided within him that Cullen had given in and allowed the tests simply because Graham seemed saner while he was conducting them. His brother was obsessed with recessed breed genetics for some reason. During those years, that research had seemed to center Graham, though, and that had made it worth that aggravation. As Chelsea drove, perhaps faster than the speed limit suggested, he sat back in the passenger seat and focused on rebuilding his control. He'd had to do that a lot in the past weeks since Chelsea had left the agency. Irritability and a lack of patience plagued him constantly, and taking care of the various details of the agency that Chelsea had always taken care of flat pissed him off. Hiring anyone else was out of the question. Even before Chelsea had come into the covert law enforcement agency, he'd found it hard to work with anyone on a daily basis. For some reason, rather than grating on his nerves, Chelsea had actually calmed them with her presence. She took care of complaints, made certain paperwork was filed, and saw to the hundreds of details that irked the hell out of him. And then she'd left. After her resignation, his temper had become even more unpredictable, and he couldn't even explain why. He had no idea why the lack of her presence affected him as it had. It had become so bad in the last week that his men avoided him whenever possible. At this rate, the Navajo Council would end up asking for his resignation before much longer. Forcing himself to remain silent, to keep his questions to himself during the drive, Cullen was relieved when she finally turned onto her street and seconds later pulled into her driveway. Her shadows pulled into the driveway next to her house, and before she shut the truck off, the two breeds were moving to the front door of her home. Their caution and foresight where her protection was concerned only irritated him further. The fact that they were wary enough, on guard to such an extent, led him to suspect that the danger she was facing was far more severe than Drager and Tobias let on. And that, Cullen knew, he simply couldn't tolerate. Nothing could happen to Chelsea. No matter what it took, no matter the blood he would have to shed, he couldn't lose her. Chapter 5. From Graham's journal, The Recessed Primal Breed. It is a good thing a woman's heart was created to nurture and to forgive. For a breed, whether recessed, active, or anything in between, will tempt his mate to murder. Chelsea stared through the darkness to the small house she rented, wondering at what point Cullen had decided he could master her life in this way, that he could master her. What disturbed her the most was that she was letting him get away with it. He was running roughshod over her objections and doing what he wanted to do. And rather than retaining control, she was letting him do it. If she let him into the house, then he'd end up in her bed. She knew it, and he knew it.
Are we sitting here all night?
The question was low, the roughened quality of his voice sending a flush of need racing through her. How many years had she fantasized about him, ached for him? Even as a young girl, Cullen had drawn her. His close association with her family, the tormented depths of his dark eyes and quiet strength, had always made her hurt for whatever pain he'd known. When he'd married her distant cousin, Chelsea had only been 12, but she remembered sensing that Cullen cared far more for her cousin than Lauren felt for him. To her knowledge, Cullen had never learned that his wife had known about her cancer before they married, that their relationship was instigated in the hopes that the stories in the tabloids about mating heat were at least partially true. Lauren hadn't loved him. She'd wanted to live, and believed mating heat would cure the cancer and extend her life.
Chelsea, you don't want to have this conversation sitting in your driveway,
he warned her, his voice oddly gentle.
Why?
She licked her lips, uncertain how to proceed. Because you intend for your discussion to end up in my bed? She turned to look at him then, her fingers clenched tight on the steering wheel, her body humming with tension.
It's going to happen.
He sighed heavily.
Tonight, tomorrow night. But it's coming.
A sharp, incredulous laugh left her lips.
I worked for you for 4 years, and not once did you even hint at any desire for me. And now, a month after I resign, you've decided you just can't wait to get into my bed? Really, Cullen?
Really, Chelsea,
he mocked her, though gently.
And I think we both know it didn't just happen. I just stopped fighting it.
And just like your determination to ride home with me, your sudden determination to sleep with me is all that matters. She couldn't believe what she was hearing. Why don't you just take my truck and leave? You're just making me crazy. And I was tired of crazy when I resigned. Turning in her seat to stare back at him, Chelsea was caught by the somber intensity in his expression and in his gaze. His green eyes gleamed back at her with savage fierceness, while his tall, well-honed body appeared as tense as she felt.
You didn't resign because I made you crazy. You resigned because you weren't getting your way,
he retorted, his tone cool, almost unemotional.
You think you were ready for ops. You weren't.
His statement infuriated her. Every time he made that argument, she wanted to scream in frustration. I was 12 when Dad put me in self-defense and firearms courses, she reminded him, her voice low but furious. At 14, Claire's brother Lincoln, who was in special forces at the time, took over my training whenever he was home. At 18, I was considered well qualified to work with the Breed Underground. 2 weeks ago, I did something well-trained agents would have had a hard time doing. And you think I'm not qualified to even oversee operations with you in the command van? All you wanted me to do was file your damned paperwork. A grimace pulled at his expression, but he knew he couldn't argue her qualifications. He had never been able to argue them. In the past, he'd shut her down by walking out of the office or simply staring back at her silently no matter what she said. He turned his head away from her then, staring back at the house, tension radiating from him, though he maintained the appearance of casual relaxation. He wasn't relaxed in the least. She knew him, knew the signs of his tension. Then he growled again, a low, dangerous sound that had her rolling her eyes in exasperation. The growl isn't going to change anything, Cullen. I trained my ass off to be a part of the agency. I trained after I came into the agency. Everyone there knew I had the qualifications to join ops or command, and you refused to hear it. She gave a weary shake of her head. And now it doesn't matter. This is my life. You can't order me out of it, no matter how much you might want to. He turned back to her slowly, the gleam of his eyes more intense now, the shadows filling the truck actually giving him the appearance of stripes across his face.
Tell me what you're doing and who you're working for. I'll take care of it, finish the job, and then I'll bring you into command at the agency,
he offered.
You'll work directly with me.
At first, she was certain she couldn't have heard him correctly. Are you serious? He couldn't have meant it. Even Cullen wouldn't go that far to get what he wanted.
I'll train you to take over Ranger's position within 2 years. He wants to step into admin.
He continued with the promise.
You'll be my second, Chelsea. You'll oversee all ops with me and be an integral part of the planning. That was what you wanted. You can have it.
She turned away from him. She had to.
I'll finish this job for you personally, he continued. You'll go straight to ops and begin training while I do it.
He was that desperate to close her in, to put her in a box and join her family in keeping her locked away from the life she wanted to live. Her father had seen to her training in the interests of self-protection, he always argued. His beloved sister had been kidnapped by the Genetics Council when she was only 16. He'd been terrified of losing one of his daughters. He hadn't intended for her to use the training as a career. It had been to keep her safe, and he complained often that he would have less gray hair if he'd just hired bodyguards.
You need to go home, Cullen. God, it hurt.
He was dangling a carrot in front of her that she had worked toward for years. She would have enjoyed ops, but command would have suited her so much better. Being in on each operation from planning to completion, overseeing it, working with each agent, and coordinating their reports after they went undercover. Working with Cullen on a daily basis, sharing every phase of the work they both loved. The price he was demanding was far too high, though. I have a job now. She forced the words out, forced the denial past her lips. What I'm doing, and who I'm doing it for, is none of your business. Just as the operations that went through the agency weren't considered my business.
Just go home, and stop trying to protect me. It was never your protection that I wanted.
At the last moment, Cullen pulled back the harsh, brutal growl that would have escaped his chest. The scent of her pain was like wildfire racing out of control, and what it was doing to his self-control was shocking. Flexing his fingers, he stared at them for a moment, wondering at the ache he could feel in them and the anger rising inside him.
You're important to me, Chelsea.
He'd tried to make sense of why his breed genetics were suddenly rearing their sullen heads and making his life hell since Chelsea had left the agency.
We're friends, she agreed.
And he wanted to latch onto that excuse so bad he couldn't stand it.
I get that. But friends don't get to tell friends how to live their lives.
Cullen breathed out heavily as that scent of pain increased. And determination. Damn, she had to be the most stubborn woman he'd ever known. She even had breed females beat.
We're more than friends,
he acknowledged, silencing her, surprising her.
Letting you leave the agency was the hardest thing I've ever done. This is the right thing to do. You know it is.
She was shaking her head the whole time he was talking, with her hands latched onto the steering wheel like a lifeline. He could feel the denial racing through her, sense it moving on the air around him.
It's my job,
she whispered, the scent of tears raking over his senses now, almost pulling a snarl from his lips.
And it's just not realistic to assume that I can do it on my own or aid in any op you could come up with, is it?
Scorn filled her voice.
God, Cullen, I already have one overprotective father. I don't need another one.
Father?
He'd be damned if he felt anything fatherly toward her.
And if you die doing this your way? What about the grief you leave behind? The loss,
he demanded. What could he say or do to make her understand how much it would hurt to lose her in such a way?
And what about my grief?
Her question had his eyes narrowing on her in confusion. Her eyes were filled with that grief, with a tormented hurt and longing whose cause he didn't understand.
You want me to deny who I am, what lives inside me.
One hand lifted from the steering wheel to press between her breasts.
You want me to deny the dreams I've had all my life. Deny who and what I am. It's no different than imprisoning me while you ride off into the sunset to do it all yourself. Why don't you spend the next 2 years doing my filing while I do your job and see how well you like it?
His jaw clenched to the point that his teeth ached.
She was right. And he knew she was right. She had been right for years, yet each time he'd considered giving her a place on ops or command, he'd forced himself to pull back. Neither position was secure enough to make him feel confident that she was safe.
"It's what you wanted," he growled instead. "Command is what you wanted, Chelsea."
"Not at the price you're asking," she cried out. "It was what I wanted when I was with the agency. What I wanted before I left and learned how much I enjoy working with people who actually consider the possibility that I might know what I'm doing."
As his lips parted to reply, lights cut through the back window of the truck, and Cullen recognized the agency dragoon pulling in behind them. Damn it. He didn't need this. This wasn't finished. He hadn't touched her, tasted her again. He hadn't found a way to convince her to drop whatever she was doing until he could figure out why some damned council-bred coyote had come after her with a knife. With a muttered curse, he stepped from the truck and strode to the dragoon, as rangers stepped from the powerful desert-capable law enforcement vehicle.
"What?"
he snarled. Ranger's dark brow lifted in surprise.
"The Peterson op is heating up. We need to get command in place and get ready for that bye, Cullen. Our window in is limited. We're going to have to roll." "Fuck."
They'd been working that op for 6 months. A small coyote breed unit they were working with was setting up a drug buy with one of the bigger movers in the West. He couldn't afford to drop the ball on this one.
"Give me a minute. Have the unit ready to roll and get Doug on the radio. I'll be right back."
The coyote, Dog, was their eyes and ears in the small group of Genetics Council coyotes selling the drugs. Working with the other breed had made this operation move incredibly fast. Cullen knew if they lost this opportunity, then the Genetics Council would receive an influx of cash that would fund more operations against free breeds than Cullen wanted to contemplate. Chelsea was stepping from the truck as he turned back and strode to her. Her expression, despite the mutinous set, was disillusioned, though, the hurt still lingering.
"This isn't over,"
he assured her, reaching out to grip her upper arm and pull her to him. His arm went around her waist, his head lowered, and before she could resist, he let his tongue taste her lips, then pushed between the curves and claimed her mouth with a kiss he was craving. There was no time to sate himself, no time to claim her, but he'd be damned if he'd let her forget what was burning between them. Forcing himself to pull back, he glared down at her for a moment before releasing her. Turning, he stalked back to the dragoon, waved Ranger to the passenger side, and slid into the driver's seat. God only knew how long this was going to take. As they reversed from the driveway and accelerated away from the house, he pulled his sat phone from the clip at his belt and hit speed dial.
"Do you know what fucking time it is?" his brother snapped as he answered the call. "You're obviously still awake," he pointed out in annoyance. "Don't worry. I'll make it quick." "You're getting too uppity for those recessed genetics of yours,"
Graham groused.
"What the hell do you want?"
Cullen ground his teeth before once again smothering a growl.
"I'm going to be out of town for a while. I'm not certain how long,"
he informed the other man.
"Put a shadow on Chelsea for me." "She has two,"
Graham reminded him irritably.
"And you told me to keep my nose out of it." "Then make it three, damn it,"
he snarled.
"Keep her safe, Graham. It's no less than I did for you."
Silence filled the line for long seconds before he heard a heavy sigh.
I did that when I heard of the attack, Graham finally admitted. And if you want to know what she's doing, check with Rule Breaker, the new director of the Western Division of the Bureau of Breed Affairs. According to my informant, she's working with his covert breed management division, currently headed by that little witch, Cassandra Sinclair. And I just received that information a few hours ago, before you start snarling your displeasure that I might have been holding back on you.
The covert breed management division? Fuck. She was looking for council-held breeds. No wonder she was attacked. And the attacks wouldn't stop, either.
I have two men shadowing her, out of sight of the two breeds assigned as her backup. Just let me know when you return.
Graham breathed out heavily.
And I wouldn't be gone long if I were you, Cullen. That girl's stubborn, and she knows her directive. She won't wait for you to return before heading into trouble.
No, she wouldn't. Disconnecting the call, he tossed the phone to the console as he glowered into the darkness, the silence in the Dragoon becoming heavier by the second.
Don't say it,
he finally warned the agent riding with him.
I don't want to hear it. Of course you don't,
Ranger scoffed mockingly.
Sucks knowing you fucked up, doesn't it? I told you to talk to her and get her back at the agency when she first resigned. That damned pride of yours gets you in trouble every time. Shut the fuck up,
Cullen ordered, hating the truth of his friend's words.
Admit it, Cullen, Ranger sighed. That girl's been important to you since you first came to Window Rock. Lauren might have been paranoid, but she wasn't wrong about you and Chelsea being close. She's important to you. She always has been.
More important than Ranger guessed. More important than even Cullen had realized at the time.
She was a friend. She's still a friend.
He sighed wearily.
How that's changed since Lauren's death isn't the point, Ranger. I wasn't unfaithful to my wife.
No matter the fact that she had been.
If anyone knows that, it's me, Ranger stated quietly. But now, Cullen, you're going to have to make up your mind what you're going to do where she's concerned. Because she's not one of those one-night stands you keep insisting on having. You break her heart, and you'll make enemies.
Sliding him a sidelong look, Cullen only grunted at the warning. It wasn't the enemies he would make that bothered him. The thought of breaking Chelsea's heart wasn't the problem. If he took her to his bed, he'd keep her. He wouldn't have a choice in the matter. It was that wild courage that was so much a part of her that held him back. A wild courage that terrified him on a good day. Chelsea would insist on fighting by his side, and he'd go crazy worrying about her safety and losing her. He was starting to realize that was all he was doing now, though. Chelsea had proven she wasn't going to be restrained with her rescue of the Cervez daughter that night in the desert. The memory of that still had the power to send fear crawling up his back. She could have died out there, alone, tortured by the monsters that had such a lack of mercy they'd killed a child with the physical and mental wounds they'd inflicted. And making enemies wasn't the greatest risk he was taking. Losing her was his greatest fear. But losing himself, if anything ever happened to her, was a certainty. Chapter 6 From Graham's Journal, The Recessed Primal Breed.
The recessed primal breed will deny mating heat only as long as his animal genetics will allow.
2 days later, Chelsea stepped into the office of the director of the Western Division of the Bureau of Breed Affairs, where Rule Breaker and his assistant director, Law Justice, and her handler, Cassie Sinclair, waited. Cassie looked as cool and composed as ever, dressed in gray tailored slacks, a white silk blouse, and 4-inch heels. Her long black hair was drawn back into a low ponytail and secured with a white silk ribbon. She appeared both innocent and confident, and it was a look she did well. Rule and Law, on the other hand, despite their expensive suits and smooth manners, were still the hard, savagely trained breeds they were when they'd first come to the nation several years ago. The rougher edges were smoother now, but they hadn't lost anything in strength or the wary caution in their eyes.
Chelsea, it's good to see you again.
Rule rose from his seat behind the long executive desk at the other side of the room. A smile tipped his lips, and amusement filled his dark blue gaze, but she was certain that could change as quickly as any threat could rear its head.
Yes, it is, Law agreed, though we expected to see you at Graham's dinner party the other night.
Her brow lifted as she shook their hands, appreciating the light firmness that didn't pinch her hand.
I should have just attended, she grimaced, taking her seat next to Cassie in front of Rule's desk. Our friendly commander of the covert law enforcement agency made things a little difficult while we were in the field.
Rule grimaced at her comment, as he took his seat as well, and pulled a file up on the holo screen he used at his desk.
So your report noted, he sighed. I wanted you to come in to let you know in person that your cover has likely been blown with the commander, and definitely with his brother, Graham. It's rather difficult to keep Graham out of our files whenever he decides to plunder them.
She nodded at that. It lasted longer than I anticipated. Cullen, I know, is rather good at getting the answers he wants. I suspected he'd request Graham's help in getting those answers after he showed up at the house the other day. She'd worked with him long enough to know exactly how good he was at it. She'd simply assumed after a month of no contact that he really didn't give a damn what she was doing.
I should tell you, Grandfather contacted me as well. Rule sighed. He wasn't happy with me for offering you the position.
Sometimes, it was damned hard to remember that this forceful breed and his brother were actually her first cousins. When her aunt, Morningstar, had been kidnapped by the council, she'd been impregnated with breeds. Rule and Law were just two of them. And through them they'd learned that Morningstar's brother, Raymond, had actually been working with the council at the time. He'd betrayed his sister to them.
Did Cullen call him?
She asked him warily then.
If he'd been carrying tales to her grandfather, she might end up taking her grandmother's black cast-iron skillet to his head.
Rule's lips twisted with wry amusement.
Grandfather claims less conventional means in acquiring his information. He told Rule he wasn't pleased that the Winds were forced to come to him, rather than his own grandsons, to inform him of the dangers said grandsons had drawn his granddaughter into.
Law smirked.
He was a little put out.
Chelsea let her fingers tighten on the arm of the chair for a second before giving a heavy sigh. Her grandfather could be temperamental at times, and if the Winds, the breezes that whispered over the nation, tattled on his grandchildren, then he could become extremely irate. He claimed his family should keep him in the loop no matter the trouble they were about to get into. She should have known she couldn't keep what she was doing away from him. She was thankful the Winds had remained quiet as long as they had.
I'm glad he called you rather than me, she finally said with a little grin, as her gaze met Rule's.
He must be waiting for you to take care of the problem.
Law grunted at that. He demanded we fire you immediately.
Her eyes widened in surprise and wariness.
Fire me?
Rule leaned back in his chair, his gaze never leaving hers.
He claimed this position would endanger you because you were too stubborn to accept help.
Her brows lifted at the accusation,
Hmm, she muttered, restraining a smile. And here I thought the winds knew me better than that.
Law chuckled from her side as Cassie's silent laughter sparkled in her blue eyes.
Cute.
Rule nodded, his lips quirking with amusement at her response.
But I'm curious to know why he'd think you'd refuse help.
She didn't have a clue. Unless. Lips pursing thoughtfully, she breathed a short sigh before shaking her head in resignation. Cullen, she stated, pushing her fingers across the fringe of bangs that fell over her brow. When I refused to tell him what I was doing or who I was working for, he offered me a place on command at the agency if I'd let him finish whatever job I'd taken. Without my help, of course.
Rule's brow lifted with a hint of surprise as he reached up to scratch at his cheek lightly.
Interesting, he finally commented. Cullen was rather determined to keep you in the office, wasn't he?
A bit, she agreed.
He'd been fanatical about it. She'd often accused him of that.
Hell of a concession to make just for some information,
Law pointed out.
Oh, he didn't just want the particulars.
Shifting in her chair, she could feel the remembered anger returning. He wanted me to allow him to finish the job himself while I returned to the office and waited for him. It didn't seem like a fair trade to me.
Yeah, I bet his filing has piled up a bit,
Cassie commented with a hint of laughter. She had no doubt in her mind that his filing had piled up. When she'd first gone to work for him, it had taken her 2 months to clear up his filing system. In an age of complete digital filing and retrieving, for some reason, law enforcement still loves its paper, she sighed, glancing at the folders and files stacked on one side of Rule's desk.
Can't hack hard copy, Law drawled. You can't forward it, either,
Rule grunted.
I'd burn his files if I had to return to that office,
Chelsea informed them.
And I'm sure he's completely destroyed my filing system by now.
She'd taken a week for vacation once. When she'd returned, the filing system was a disaster, not to mention the files strewn from one office to the other.
What was it about men and their files?
I don't intend to send you back to filing hell,
Rule promised with a quirk of his lips.
I wanted to apprise you of the situation, let you know that he's likely aware of the operation you're a part of.
Well, at least she didn't have to worry about explaining it to him now. Maybe he'll let it go now.
She shrugged. His curiosity has been assuaged and he can go back to his own job and leave mine alone. She had to admit, knowing he was at the clubs that night he'd followed her, had given her a sense of security she hadn't known in the weeks before, or the past 2 nights. For some reason, the knowledge that Cullen was there meant far more than knowing Drager and Tobias were shadowing her.
I wouldn't bet on it if I were you,
Cassie whispered, her voice almost too low to hear. Chelsea refrained from shooting the other woman a warning look. Cullen hadn't cared one way or the other what she was doing until that responsibility complex of his had kicked in at the news of her attack. Then he'd felt he had to protect her. He'd never considered the thought that protection wasn't what she needed.
I'm betting on it.
Chelsea gave a firm nod, determined she was right. She knew Cullen. She'd worked with him for 4 years. She knew how deep his sense of responsibility went. He felt responsible for her, felt he had to protect her. That was the reason he hadn't wanted her in command or in ops. He could keep her safe in the office. Cassie snickered beside her, while Law and Rule cast the other woman a hooded look. No one had ever accused Breeds of not being weird.
If that's everything?
She rose slowly to her feet, her gaze encompassing the three Breeds currently seeming to have some joke at her expense. I'd like to get to the operations center and go over the pictures and video that's come in over the past week, so I'll know where to concentrate my interest when I head back out.
Rule nodded as he and Law rose to their feet once again. Drager and Tobias are waiting for you outside the office, Law stated, nodding to the door.
I'll be down to join you in a bit, Cassie informed her as she headed for the door. Give me about 30 minutes.
You know where I'll be, she called back to the other woman.
Leaving the office, she was aware of the two wolf breeds waiting for her as they rose to their feet and trailed behind her. Cassie seemed certain Cullen wasn't going to let this go so easily. Chelsea sincerely hoped the other woman was wrong.